As I said going into the break, it's National Signing Day. This has been a big deal for a long time. Doesn't feel like as big of a deal today, although we're not coaches. We're not people on staffs because it probably does feel like a big day to them.
Oh, they're still
like sweating. Always, because they're nervous, they're excited, they're disappointed. A lot of emotions today as
Did you
coaches
make sure
and
your
staffs.
Fax machine was cleared off. And
do they still do fax
in?
Machines?
I'm pretty sure
they still fax it over.
I think so.
Don't today we can email it over. We can do the signature
the
and just email
the
scan
an e.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how that works today. Jerry Hamilton would probably have the answers to that. ESPN recruiting analyst. I was watching his work last night as you guys were obviously getting everybody ready for today. Jerry, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Running fast, running on fumes.
I bet. So do they still use a fax machine? How do they get word that the kid is coming?
Yeah, no, there is. There's also some electronic. We're moving more electronic with the faxes, but there is still fax machine, absolutely.
Does it feel like a big day? I know this is what you do, but I led off with, this was the day. I mean, think about this time last year. I mean, it's wall-to-wall. It's news breaking constantly, but when over 70% of the class is already signed, sealed, and delivered, it doesn't have the same feel. How many big names are still out there? And I know some big names have already made some decisions and broken some news earlier today, but how does today feel overall, in your opinion?
I think it's a huge day, and that's not because I work in the business, but because when you think about LSU coaching staff when they got up this morning, late last night, wondering if they're getting Patrick Surtain. He goes to Alabama. They were down on numbers a little, but they had three spots left. They slow played a corner, ESPN 300 corner, Mario Goodrich, thinking they're getting Pat Surtain. Goodrich goes to Clemson. James Foster, their top quarterback target, likely going to go to A&M here soon over FSU. So Miami loses out on Pat Surtain and Tyson Campbell, the five-star corners, Campbell to Georgia, Surtain to Alabama. So for the staffs that don't have a good day, it's a huge day because you just feel like, man, we didn't get it done. And then if you're Alabama and you had Pat Surtain to what you have, then Georgia, Tyson Campbell locks up the top five, number one class. I should say it's a huge day overall for these programs. But it's really big for your transition class coaches. A&M's having a really good day. Florida State's having a really good day. It's paramount that those coaches have good days so they're not behind the eight ball with the 2019 class having to fill too many needs in one class.
So you may have just answered my question. I was going to say, who's been the biggest loser to this point? Is it LSU?
Yeah, LSU and Miami have had tough days just because Pat Surtain, the five-star corner, he was a lean to LSU for so long in this process. He had such a great relationship with Corey Raymond. Then to not only lose Surtain if you're LSU, but to lose him to Alabama, the top corner in the country, that one stings, and it stings because, like I said, they slow play Mario Goodrich thinking they're in a great position with Surtain. So now Goodrich goes to Clemson, and you had two corners go to the NFL draft early, and now you have a hole at that position. They have talent in Baton Rouge, but they have a hole that they didn't think they were going to have.
I know they lost to him in the national championship game, but when you look at what Kirby Smart has been able to do since he's been the head coach at Georgia on the recruiting trail, is there a new sheriff in town when it comes to recruiting? We're used to, okay, we know Alabama's got the number one class. Who's number two? Who's three? I mean, but we're not talking about Alabama number one anymore. Is there a new sheriff on the recruiting trail?
Well, no, absolutely not, because Alabama will finish with a 10th straight top three class, which is, I mean, obviously that's a record. But what it is, I think, in the state of Georgia, it's difficult to keep all those kids home because you have the University of Georgia, and then you have Georgia Tech, who's not a player very often for the very top guys. And then everybody recruits the state, because I'm telling you, the Atlanta metro area is probably the most talented area in the country now. It's past Dade and Broward County for me. So keeping those kids at home is very difficult because a lot of those kids have moved to Georgia and they didn't grow up Dogs fans. what Kirby Smart has done, he's keeping more of those top 10, top 20 guys home. And that is really elevating Georgia in the eyes of younger prospects in that state. But what Kirby also did is he went 8-5 his first year on the field. He signed the top 10 class. Then he made that run to the SEC Championship of College Football playoffs. So he's created a tidal wave of momentum. Are they going to be a serious contender for top five classes as long as he's there? Absolutely they are. Is there a new sheriff in town? That'll probably happen when Nick Saban retires.
Hmm. Okay, so you had Kirby Smart leave the Saban nest. Now you've had Jeremy Pruitt leave the Saban nest, and now he's a head coach in the SEC. So how did Tennessee do with Jeremy Pruitt?
You know, the transition classes are very difficult for these coaches. They don't have much time to build them. If you're hired in, you know, you're sitting there hired in the first week in December, with the early signing period now, you only have about 10 days. So you sign your contract, you have your press conference, and you hit the road recruiting. But what Tennessee really did that I like, while they may not hit on the high school guys they really want at the end of the day, they did terrific in the junior college ranks. The tight end, Dominic Wood Anderson, who they beat Alabama and USC and Texas for, instant contributor. A defensive end, the junior college top 50 kid, Jordan Allen, one-time TCU commits, an instant impact guy at the defensive end position, offensive tackle, Jameer Johnson, the same. They signed four tremendous junior college prospects who are going to come in and help the Vols win games right away. And I think that's big in the transition class for Jeremy Pruitt. And I think in the future you'll see him win more battles on the ESPN 300 high school guys in the 2019 classes and beyond. But in this class, it was a little bit of a struggle with the high school guys, but junior college guys are going to help them win games.
Yeah, Jerry, he said the day he was hired, when you look at the rankings because of the timetable this year, maybe the five stars or the overall ranking won't be where he or anyone else would consider it a win for Tennessee, but they're going to find players that fit their mold and help them play the way they want to. When it's all said and done today, where do you think that final ranking will end up for Tennessee on the national scale? And do you think the second part of the equation is there, that they have guys that, regardless of what the stars next to their name are, can help them take a step next year on the football field?
Yeah, I think Tennessee will finish with a top 25 class. A lot of the hay is already in the barn with that class. They weren't, you know, signing J.J. Peterson. You know, they're trying to flip Quay Walker, but I think the Alabama commitment ends up at Georgia. But I think they're going to finish with a top 25 class, which I think is just fine. When you look at those junior college kids, are going to be impact players for them. And you look at some of the guys, like John Mincy was a nice grab today out of South Georgia, three-star defensive tackle. That's a kid that South Carolina really liked. I think they've got some really good developmental players like that on both lines of scrimmage that I think are going to help them win games down the line. I think next year you see Tennessee really make a run at the skill positions, at running back, at quarterback. I think that's going to be key for 2019 class.
Jerry Hamilton, ESPN National Recruiting Analyst, talking with us here on 3D on National Signing Day Part 2. Since we really got past the end of the season, obviously a lot was made of the contract Texas A&M gave to Jimbo Fisher, 10 years, $75 million. And then since then, a lot of people have wondered if that's been worth it. Obviously, he hasn't coached a game yet, but when you look at the class he's bringing in now to Texas A&M in just a few short weeks, is it worth it so far?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think Texas A&M is – I think it's a really good class. It's a really good transition class they're putting together. They're adding some key pieces. They flipped Bobby Brown from Alabama back to A&M today. I think they're going to get James Foster, the ESPN 300 quarterback out of Alabama. They may have since we've been on the phone here. I think the future is bright at Texas A&M. I think he hired a really good staff of recruiters, and their 2019 class is already off to a really good start for Texas A&M, and that's what you look at with these transition classes. The 18 class, you fill those gaps that you need. You fill those needs, and you try to get a jump start on 2019 when you have that open window and you get that, you have the hype with the hire, and I think A&M's going to have a really good 2019 class and build for the future. Now, the wins on the field for Texas A&M are going to be interesting because the schedule is brutal the next 2 years. When you have Clemson plus the SEC West in your first year, and your second year you have Clemson, Georgia, and the SEC West, man, that's a tough schedule, but they're going to recruit really well. He assembled a really good staff, and I think he's moving. He's going to have A&M ascending on the field in short order.
At $75 million, he better win, no matter what the schedule is.
There's no doubt about that.
As I look at the ESPN top 10 classes right now, you guys do such a good job of compiling all the numbers, and a lot's been made of Georgia and Kirby Smart and the job they've done. It looks like they're going to have the number one class when it's all said and done. Ohio State, Alabama, the usual suspects are up there in a lot of ways. But one name that really stands out to me because of where they've been in recent years is Texas. Tom Herman comes in, gets them back to a bowl game last year. This class looks to be really good. Is Tom Herman the guy in your mind based off the recruiting to get Texas back to where they're accustomed to being?
Well, I think he's certainly proven that. He had a tough transition class last year. They finished 33 in our ESPN class rankings. Texas is going to finish top four this year, three or four in that area. They're going to have 24-star prospects in this class or more. It's a tremendous class. They've hit on the defensive line and offensive line, which they had to in this class. I think they've done a good job of filling needs. Now comes the hard part, getting over the field, getting over the hump on the field. This first season had some real ups and downs, 7-6, some key injuries, keeping quarterbacks healthy, getting good quarterback play is still an issue in Austin consistently. He's definitely on the right track, but I will say this, with Jimbo Fisher now at Texas A&M, that adds a different recruiting dimension in the Lone Star State, and Oklahoma is going to be Oklahoma. So Texas has to go up that win total to 9 next year, in my opinion, whether it's 9-3 regular season, 9-4 after a bowl win. They have to show they're ascending to these 2019, 2020, and 2021 recruits to be able to really compete with A&M, because A&M's got a lot of juice right now behind the Jimbo Fisher hire.
We got the recruiting rivalry back in the state of Texas. Jerry, after we get all the signatures today dried off, the ink dried, can we get to work on getting those two teams to play again? Can we get a contract on that?
Hey, look, I'm from Texas. My dad was a high school coach in Texas for 36 years. I missed that game greatly. I loved that Thanksgiving Day game. The kids in the state, I think it adds so much to recruiting in the state of Texas for A&M in Texas if they play. Is it going to happen? I'll hedge my bets on that, but I wish it would.
Me too.
Or even a neutral site game first week of the season, you know, Labor Day weekend.
Sure.
That would work. I'd watch,
yeah,
for sure. I mean,
that's
where it's all going, right? Although Philip Fulmer just said he doesn't like the neutral site games, but, you know, play in Jerry's World, play somewhere big, and, I mean, you put Texas and A&M, maybe do it at the Speedway in Dallas.
After
Bristol did it, they came out and said, you know, we'll host it. They could put 200,000 people there. Yeah.
Hey, you could get well over into the hundreds of thousands of people at a game at A&M Texas game if the venue's big enough. You could get 150,000 people at a game. There's no doubt.
No doubt. All right, last thing, Jerry, when I look at the Big Ten, I see Ohio State up there. I see James Franklin's doing a good job at Penn State, but I don't see Jim Harbaugh. Where's Michigan in the recruiting trail?
Michigan top 15 class, missed on a few more top targets than they had the last 2 years. The biggest recruit for Michigan in this class is Ole Miss transfer quarterback Shea Patterson,
right,
and the ability to get him eligible immediately. He's a program changer for Michigan. If he were to be able to play next year, that's a game changer for the Wolverines. But the 2018 class, not the top 10 class of the last 2 years, but I will say this, they're off to a really good start in 2019. Now, again, you know, we've said it. Now it's time to go really take that next step on the field and show those future recruits that, yes, we are going to ascend and we're going to keep ascending under Jim Harbaugh and create that perception again, create that momentum again, because that's really what recruiting's become. It's the perception when you're hired, creating that hype, creating that momentum. Michigan lost a little bit of that in this class, but they're on their way back in 2019.
Has the news around Michigan State hurt the Spartans today? Has that hurt D'Antonio?
No, because so much of the hay was already in the barn with this class. I think that is going to be you're going to have to watch in the 2019 class. Really what happens, they've got a few good kids committed in 2019. As this, as this process goes on, it'll be interesting to see how that affects the 2019 class, because as you guys know that follow recruiting, you know who's going to be coming after those kids committed to Michigan State. Everybody that plays Michigan State is going to come after them, and I'm not going to say bad mouth in recruiting, but they're, hey, it's going to be brought up, right? That's your job as a program recruiting against another team. So I think the 2019 class of Michigan State's where you look to see if they're going to have a big issue.
I don't believe
bad mouth them.
Urban Meyer would never do that. Never. Jim Harbaugh wouldn't either.
No
chance of that.
Very nice guy.
Jerry, yes, sir. It's very clean on the recruiting trail and very nice. Jerry, thanks for doing this. Really good stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry. Enjoy today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Jerry Hamilton, ESPN recruiting analyst.
You know, the thing about Michigan, and that's a great question you ask about Harbaugh and where it is, because I think there really is a perception that they're like on this plateau and they're just not going to maybe get to that next level. I'm withholding judgment through next season. Because when you look at what they had when he started, he had some talent in the upper classes, which he splashed right onto the scene in Michigan, turned him around, was winning 10 games right away, going to, the New Year's Six Bowls, BCS Bowls at the end of that. And then there was a lull in the younger classes, and that's what he had last year. He had a team that really didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have a ton of depth. And they weren't a great team. They were overrated to start the year. But you know what? His last couple recruiting classes have been really good going into this year. Those guys are the ones who are going to be on the field next year. And with Patterson at quarterback, I think Michigan's going to be really good over the next couple years. And if they do, I think we forget about all this. If they aren't, then I think you really ask the questions.
Well, he's on a major hot seat. I mean, look, he's about in Les Miles territory. Because today's about offense. Today, fans want offense. They want to be – look, they want to win, especially at Michigan, but they also want to be entertained. And Michigan's offense has been deathly dull since Jim Harbaugh's been there.
I agree.
Think about how much winning he did, and it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Michigan, you can't get a quarterback there. Jim Harbaugh's a former quarterback. He was brought in to be the savior of the program.
Well, he's got quarterbacks now.
Well, he does.
He didn't this past year, but he's got quarterbacks now. And he's also a Michigan man. There's a lot to that up there. From the people I've talked to up there, I don't think the heat on Harbaugh comes so much from the Michigan fan base. There are some that are certainly frustrated, but I don't think there's a lot of Michigan fans saying, gosh, Jim Harbaugh is maybe working his way out. I think that's more of a national perception because he started so hot and he did so much at all the other places he'd been that I think people just assume that by year three or four, he was going to win a Big Ten title. I think there now, next year, the year after, I think that conversation becomes legitimate for Michigan, where they can be a contender. So now we find out exactly what he's worth. If he wins one, we forget about this.
Right.
If he doesn't, then the pressure really gets
It's on. Really, at this point now, Steve, it's not about winning a Big Ten title. Like, they're behind Ohio State. That's very clear. They're not better than Ohio State's program right now. Right now, they're not better than Wisconsin. They're not better than Penn State. They're behind those programs right now today, and nobody thought that when Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State, yes, but Penn State and Wisconsin, I don't believe
Michigan's
so. They didn't hire Jim Harbaugh to be behind those programs.
No, but Michigan's going to have a whole lot more talent on the field this year than Wisconsin does.
Yeah, we'll see
And I think they're going to be right in the mix with certainly Penn State and probably Ohio State at the end of the day this year.
Back to wrap up the first hour next.